Meeting to order. At this time, we've got an overview with the Department of Community and Economic Development. We've got the most honorable Edgar Blasker, Commissioner. Would you come up, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I leave it around 9 o'clock, it's because I have a meeting going on upstairs.
Okay.
But we have all of our directors here.
Yes.
All divisions are represented here. This is my introduction to the department, Mr. Chairman, and our mission is to promote strong communities and a healthy economy, so we're divided up into the advocates and the regulators. We provide consumer protection through regulation of banking, securities, and corporations, insurance, professional occupations, and business licensing. We promote economic development in the state through domestic and international promotion of tourism, seafood, timber, minerals, and other products, and encouragement of business and industrial development. We also administer several loan programs. Our mission includes fostering the development of independent local governments by providing technical, financial, and program assistance to communities. The department consists of the Commissioner's Office plus 7 divisions. The divisions are Administrative Services, Banking, Securities, and Corporations, Community and Business Development, International Trade and Market Development, Insurance, Investments, and Occupational Licensing. The department also houses 6 independent agencies, the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, /Alaska Energy Authority, the Alaska Railroad Corporation, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation, and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. We have approximately 500 employees, and the department's employees are based in Anchorage, Juneau, Bethel, Gillingham, Fairbanks, Kodiak, Ketchikan, Kotzebue, Nome, Tok, and Bellevue, Washington. Bellevue, that's for the seafood marketing. Our FY03 DCED budget is $153,800,000. Of that, 27% was from general funds, 14% was from federal funds, and 59% from other funds, which includes business receipts. The total general fund percentage that DCED gets is 2% of the state's budget. Okay. And then getting into individual divisions, Mr. Chairman, we have Gene Yonfel, the sheriff. Oh, here's one. The director of the Division of Community and Business Development brought up a black chair. My gray chair, so I don't know what that means.
There's a white hat.
Gene Kane is the acting director of the Division of Community and Business Development.
Just before you begin, I forgot to mention who is here. There's Representative Vice Chair Kelly, Representative Sisna, Representative Kukas, and Representative Anderson. Thank you. Okay, continue.
Gene. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Gene Kane, and I'm the acting director of the Division of Community and Business Development. The broad mission of the division is to promote job growth through business development and to facilitate maximum effective local self-government throughout Alaska. For your information, a copy of the division's report describing our programs and activities during 2002 and pending issues has been provided for your review. The services provided by the division fall into 4 general categories. The first is business development, the second, community development, the third is funding resources, and the fourth consists of our information resources. In the first category of business development, efforts of the division are delivered principally through 5 programs. These consist of the Alaska Regional Development Organizations, known as the ARDOR program, the Minerals Development Program activities, small business development activities, commercial fisheries research and development activities, and tourism, business, and employment efforts. With regard to the second broad category, community development, efforts of the division are delivered through seven programs. These are the Alaska Coastal Management Program, ACMP, floodplain management, land management and mapping, the Local Boundary Commission staff support, local government assistance, including financial management training for municipal and tribal governments, Rural Utility Business Advisor Program, which establishing working and efficient water and sewer systems throughout rural Alaska, and the Office of the State Assessor Programs. The third category consists of funding resources, and the division manages seven major funding programs, including the Safe Communities Program, funded by corporate income tax revenue, the State Revenue Sharing Program, a federal payment in lieu of taxes program for cities in the unorganized borough, the Fisheries Resource Landing Tax, the Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program, and the National Forest Receipts Program. BCBD staff also administer nearly 2,000 general and special grants under a variety of programs, including the Capital Project Matching Grants Program, the Community Development Block Grants, Community Services Block Grants, Emergency Shelter Grants, Legislative Grants, Mini-Grants, Communities Priorities Program Grants, Flood Mitigation Assistance Grants, National Petroleum Reserve Grants, and the Opelio Crab Disaster Grant Program. The division staff also organize and coordinate regional funding summits. At these summits, regional nonprofit, state, federal, and community representatives gather to review, discuss, and prioritize projects. Division staff conduct four funding summits annually, and the next one begins tomorrow in Barrow. These summits have proved very successful and popular with agencies and community and regional service delivery and advocacy organizations. The fourth broad category, information resources, involves six major programs, including the Alaska Economic Information System, the Community Database and Community Profiles, the Economic Development Resource Guide, the Grants Tracking Information Database, the Rapids Capital Project Database, and a new local government online program. A list of recent division publications is included on page 28 of the division's annual report. Collectively, the programs carried out by the Division of Community and Business Development reflect the mandate of Article 10, Section 14 of Alaska's Constitution, for a state agency to collect and publish local government information and to advise and assist local governments. The division's goals and strategies are to continue to provide development assistance through its activities that stimulate economic development, to encourage sustainable economies through locally driven initiatives, to augment Alaska's seafood industry, to ensure that residents of Western Alaska communities derive a maximum possible benefit from the Community Development Quota, the CDQ program, to support continued expansion of Alaska's resurgent mining industry, to promote the state's tourism industry, to support local and regional coastal management, to reduce public and private sector losses and damage from flooding and erosion, to address community land issues and work to resolve existing land ownership problems, and to anticipate and avoid future land ownership problems. Support the Local Boundary Commission as it carries out its constitutionally mandated function regarding the establishment and alteration of municipal government. Increase local government capacity to deliver essential services in an effective and efficient manner. To help rural communities operate sanitation facilities effectively and efficiently. Carry out the state's role in the area of property tax assessment, levy, and collection. To continue effective administration of grants and revenue sharing programs. and provide timely and accurate information regarding Alaska communities, local governments, business, and the economy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That concludes my overview of the Division of Community and Business Development. If you have questions, I'll do my best to respond to them.
Any questions from the committee members? Hearing none, thank you.
Thank you, James. Thank you. Chairman, our next division director is Margie Johnson, the director of the Division of International Trade and Market Development. Margie?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to see us this morning. My department has two of the best departments in state government, in my opinion, international trade and market development, which includes both tourism and promoting Alaska seafood. It's my two main passions in life, having lived in Cordova all my life, so it's a natural fit for me. Some of the new things that you'll be seeing, you have all of the facts and figures in front of you, but some of the new things that you're going to be seeing with this administration is a lot of cooperative marketing. It only makes sense for me for Alaska Tourism, ATIA, and ASME together. They're both essentially promoting the same product, Alaska Fish, Alaska Tourism. So I've held joint meetings, and much to my delight, they're very honored to be working together. They said that they've wanted to do this in the past. So I knew for myself I could never take a tourism trade mission without toting a king salmon. It's just not something I can do. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that any trade mission to any country should promote all of Alaska's resources and not just one. Also, for your information, I am getting Alaska Airlines together with ASME to see if we can't encourage them to have Alaska products on board the aircraft to maybe serve more Alaska products, and they too are looking forward to this new working relationship. So we do trade missions. Our overview is here. If you have any specific questions, I'd be glad to answer them. The Alaska tourism contract that the state has with ATIA is excellent. It's a good working relationship, and I look forward to promoting a lot of the trade missions that they've done, but just in sort of a new and innovative manner.
Representative Anderson. Yes.
Thanks for coming and for your reports, and it looks like you guys really have been going around the world with marketing. Can you just briefly, and for the, I guess, for the committee's edification and for mine, explain how the change occurred from Division of Tourism, unless, I don't know if you were with
I can.
Community Regional Affairs, then it was...
There used to be three entities, Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, the Division of Tourism, and Alaska Visitors Association. There was three, and they were three separate funding entities, and they were actually sort of three separate boards of directors. And the state, about 4 or 5 years ago, asked that those organizations be merged, and it is now merged into Alaska Tourism, ATIA Alaska. And it was an excellent idea to do the merger, although there were some bumps and grinds along the way. But it seems to be working well, although I must say our shiny North Star has sort of fallen off the radar screen for visitors. The visitor count is way down, and you'll be hearing those statistics, I think, all year. But the visitor count to Alaska is down, and we need to do what we can to support and augment that.
Excellent. Follow up is, many of us campaign, I'm a new legislator, you know, tourism, building growth. I hope you will, I guess more a statement, I hope you'll keep in contact how we can help you with funding. I don't think any of us are on the finance committee, because you can't be on another committee if you're on finance, but just let us know and keep in touch, and it sounds like you will. So because my folks own an RV rental business in Anchorage, and I've always been very pro-tourism, if there's a way we can help.
Thank you. We do notice that more RVs are being sold outside, but the RVs aren't making the trip across the Alcan. So
good. We rent.
So we're that's one of the things that we thought we might promote is go ahead and leave your RV home, but rent them once you get here. So, yes, I'll be glad to keep you in the loop on that. Yes.
I'm Kelly.
How many board members are on ASME?
No, I'm sorry. I don't have the answer to that.
You know what their budget is?
I don't. Somebody here have that?
ASME, Tom?
ASME, I think the board membership is about 24. I'm not sure, but I know it's over 20. Their budget is $10 million. About $7 million is from the salmon marketing tax, the fish landing tax, that kind of thing. And $3 million from the government.
How much, I guess the reason I'm asking these questions, I'm real concerned about ASME's direction. I see, coming from the Cook Inlet region, I see a tremendous amount of effort put on marketing of ground fish, but very little effort through ASME to market salmon. And in a situation where we have a tremendous amount of impact from farm fish coming to the United States, I guess the question raises, why do we have ASME anymore?
Well, that's a good question. And coming from Cordova, salmon is, as I said, my passion. I think that there will be increased emphasis on salmon. And one of the things that I want to do with the joint organizations with ATIA is every time they put any promotions out. For example, in Juneau, you have the largest seafood restaurant in the state, essentially, with a salmon bake. And now to visit Alaska, salmon bakes have become almost like go to Hawaii and see a luau. Well, that's an excellent marketing opportunity that we just haven't paid any attention to. So if we get the salmon information out in places like that. I've also talked with some of the cruise lines about having an ASME person on their vessel as they come into Southeast Alaska, or a fisherman, and they seem most willing to do that. They have demo kitchens. And when I spoke with Princess Tours, they said what differentiates their product is that they have Alaska cuisine on board. So I talked to ASME yesterday. They have marvelous cookbooks, but apparently they aren't available for sale for some reason. But the cruise lines indicated that they would be interested in selling them on board the vessels. So those are some of the things that we can work with.
Could you get me an actual total number, the exact count of board members?
Sure, absolutely.
As chairman of a board, I can't even fathom how to deal with 24 people. And I'd also like to know the cost of management of that board.
I can certainly do that.
Any more questions on Marjorie?
My representative. This is my representative from Cordova.
He did a great job. And answered all my questions.
You didn't even have to ask.
Yeah. Anything else?
Anything else?
Thank you,
Marjorie. Edgar.
Mr. Chairman, with your consent, we'd bring up the division of the Director of Investment. Greg Windiger.
Yeah, good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to tell you a little bit about what we do in investments. I did put together a little overview booklet that should be in your packet there. And what I'd like to do is kind of walk you through the information in here and just kind of hit on some of the high points and then answer any questions that you might have. Our primary responsibility is to handle 15 different state loan programs, and these programs were primarily designed to promote economic development in the state. And you can break them into kind of three broad categories. We have what we call our active programs, which are ones that have money available for new loans, and those are the ones you'll probably be most interested in, and I'll give you a little bit more information here in a minute. But those are the commercial fishing, fisheries enhancement, small business economic development, and the Rural Development Initiative Fund. We also have a group of programs which we call inactive because there's no new money available, but we do continue to service those portfolios. We collect loans, and those payments then go back to the general fund. And then the third category is we handle loan programs for other agencies. Essentially, we have the expertise and the structures in place to deal with loan programs, so other agencies find it's more cost-effective to come to us to do that type of work for them. At the bottom of the page, I've listed some just kind of overall statistics. As of June 30, we were handling about 3,400 accounts totaling $211 million. On page two of the handout, I've just given you kind of a quick overview of our layout of the division. We actually have two branches, lending and systems. And essentially, we handle all aspects of the loan process, all the way from loan origination, approving those loans, the documentation, as well as the accounting and collection activity that takes place with those loan programs. On page three of the handout, I've got a list of the inactive funds. And as I mentioned, these are ones where we don't have new loans, but we are continuing to collect payments. And as you can see, there's quite a variety here. Most of these were created in the early 70s. And most of them were inactivated in the mid-80s. Page four, I've got more detailed information about the largest program we administer, which is the Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Fund. This fund was enacted in 1972. It's been a very major financing mechanism for harvesters in the state since that time. Under the program, we can make a number of different types of loans. You do need to be a two-year Alaska resident, and we can make loans to purchase limited entry permits, commercial fishing vessels and gear. We have a quota share program. We also have a program for improving the quality of Alaska seafood products, and then we have two refinancing programs as well. At the bottom of the page there on page four, I've listed some statistics. This fund has performed very well in spite of some pretty substantial challenges in the salmon industry here in the last few years. There's been a total of about $60 million that's been appropriated to the fund, and with that last appropriation taking place in FY85. Since that time, there's actually been $74 million that's been taken back out of the fund, with the majority of those monies going back to the general fund or going to support other programs. So this fund is totally self-sufficient and does not receive any general fund support. On page five, I've got kind of similar information for the Fisheries Enhancement Loan Program. This fund was created in 1976 to promote the enhancement of the state's fisheries. This is the private nonprofit hatchery program. This fund is also self-sufficient and receives no general fund support. At the bottom of the page, I've got statistics. We've made about $115 million in loans under this program and received back $51 million in repayments. We do have a booklet that we put together each year that provides a lot of information about this program and the associations that are involved in this program. So if any of you want lots and lots of information about this, I can provide you with a copy of this booklet. On pages six and seven, I've got information about two small business programs that we administer. Both of these funds are owned by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, and then we service these programs through a contract with ADA. The first one, the Rural Development Initiative Fund, was created in year 2000 to provide financing to small businesses that create jobs in rural communities. This program actually replaces a very similar program that the former Department of Community and Regional Affairs administered for a number of years. It's a relatively small program, $2.2 million capital base, but it has resulted in the creation of 89 jobs in rural communities. Page seven is information about the Small Business Economic Development Fund. This was created in 1987, and it's used to finance the startup and expansion of businesses in areas of the state that have experienced economic difficulties. This program was set up through a grant from the federal EDA, and essentially down at the bottom of the page, you can see that there's about a $6.5 million capitalization, and about $4.6 million of that actually came from a federal grant, and then the rest was state matching funds. And this program has resulted in just a little under 400 jobs that have been created. And on page eight, I've listed just a couple of kind of significant issues that we see coming up in this next fiscal year. I think most of you are aware of the problems facing the salmon industry. We've got an awful lot of borrowers that have been affected by those difficulties, and we're very fortunate in that our statutes have a lot of flexibility built into them, which gives us an opportunity to kind of work with people and try and get them through these difficulties. We spent a lot of our time doing that, and we'll expect that to continue into the next couple of years. Also, the Salmon Industry Task Force, which was created by the legislature last session to kind of address these same kinds of issues, we're very involved in that process as well, and I would expect that that will continue also into the next year. And then finally, we are going to replace our software. The software system we have dates back to the early 80s. The legislature did approve a capital request last year, so we will be replacing that software. And then on page nine, I did list a few accomplishments. I'll just kind of quickly touch on these. The refinancing has been a very important program for both fisheries enhancement and commercial fishermen. As you know, rates have dropped substantially, interest rates, in the last couple of years, and so we've been able to help an awful lot of our borrowers reduce their interest rates, get their payments down through these programs. The volunteer tax and loan program is something that we support through a grant, or actually it's a contract with Alaska Business Development Center. This is a cooperative effort between the contractor, ABDC, our agency, the Internal Revenue Service, and also the University of Alaska. Essentially, teams made up of senior-level accounting students and staff travel out into rural communities and assist residents of those communities with tax preparation and business consulting. During this last year, 56 communities were visited. About 3,600 individuals got assistance. This program has been very successful. It's received two national awards, and we're very proud of this program. And also, I have more information on this. If you have want some specifics, we have a booklet that talks quite a bit about this program. And then finally, we did create a new telephone payment program here this last year that allows borrowers to make payments over the telephone, which is some of the rural areas it was difficult with mail systems and whatnot. So now we have a way that they can make payments over the phone. And then the last page, I did provide some contact information. We do have two offices here in Juneau. We're out at the Vintage Business Park. We also have an office in Anchorage, which is in the Atwood Building. And we do have a toll-free number in Alaska, as well as a website. And all of our program information is on the website, as well as our applications. So that's a real quick overview, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions that
any questions for Greg Wininger? Hearing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you. Edgar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next director we have is the director of the Division of Banking, Securities, and Corporations, Mark Davis. Mr. Chairman, with your consent.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm the new director for the Division of Banking, Securities, and Corporations. We have essentially four complementary functions. One is to charter, regulate, and examine state banks. And recently, as of January 3rd, 2003, we're also going to examine trust companies, which is a new assignment given us by House Bill 157 that passed. The second thing we do is we regulate the Alaska Securities Act of 1999, which is a modern security statute, and we are also attempting to provide more education as interest rates go down. Obviously, some people are promising returns that are too good to be true. The third thing we do is we provide a legal structure for business through corporations, essentially a filing process. We keep the documents for corporations, limited liability companies, and limited partnerships. And we try to provide that service as rapidly as possible. That's being put into a computerized system. For the first time in about 4 years, the corporation section is pretty much on time, but it takes it about 7 days to get your documents processed once you file them. It's fairly rapid, and our fees are relatively low. The fourth thing we do is we provide overview of proxy statements for certain native corporations that have more than 500 shareholders and more than $2 million in assets. And that entails going through complaints, essentially, from shareholders about proxy statements. We investigate those and take enforcement action, if appropriate, under statutory authority. And that's basically what the division does. It essentially takes in more revenues than it costs. That's the good news. And they go into the general fund.
Any questions for Mark Davis? Representative Kukesh?
On your last statement, you said that you regulate corporations that have 500 shareholders.
Proxy statement.
500 shareholders. Is it and $2 million assets, or if you had 500 shareholders and less than $2 million, would you still regulate?
The statute is and.
And?
And.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Any more questions? Representative Kelly?
I'll bite. So how much goes back into the general fund?
Our budget last year was $2.4 million, and my administrative officer tells me we collected about $8.1
million. Any more questions for Mark Davis?
Thank you.
Hearing none, thank you. Commissioner Bradford?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mark. With your consent, we'd like to have the division of the director of the Division of Occupational Licensing here, Rick.
I'm Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got the black chair.
I'm leaving here.
For the first time. My name is Rick Urey, and I'm the Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing. Thanks for having us here today. The mission of the division which I manage is to ensure that competent professionals can serve the Alaska public. We administer 37 categories of occupational licenses, which include over 130 different occupations. 20 of those categories have their own board, which we also staff and manage. We issue about 73,000 business licenses, and at the start of fiscal year 2002, about 1,862 of those businesses had tobacco endorsements. My goal is to make applying for and receiving either a professional license or a business license as easy and as convenient as possible. We receive a lot of complaints about businesses in Alaska, and we investigate those as promptly as possible and fairly. And one of my goals is to, this is one of our problem areas. We're sort of overloaded in that area, and we may need some help from you to increase our staff in that particular area so that we can adjudicate those complaints in a more timely manner. The Division of Occupational Licenses is one of those unique divisions. We do generate all the revenue that's required to operate the division, so we don't require any general funds. As you know, before some of your committees, there are a number of bills requiring more licenses for people. Whatever you and your wisdom decide you will pass, we'll be standing ready to enforce whatever you want to do and carry out whatever missions you would like us to carry out as far as licensing other professions go. In closing, I'd like to say, you know, as a person who has spent almost my entire adult life self-employed, I've always said it would be good for people or bureaucrats to have the opportunity to be in private enterprise so they'd understand how the private enterprise system works, the profit motive, making payrolls and all those sort of things. And now I have this opportunity to be on the other side. I see that the flip side of that is also true. It's good for those of us who've been in private business to have the opportunity to be in government, to see the other side of the coin. There is a different perspective. And I have a division of some hardworking people. I'm impressed. And if any of you ever think that there are public employees that don't work, don't have jobs, I would invite you to walk through my division at any time of the day, and you'll see people that are at their computers, they're on the phones, and they're in the file cabinets. They're a very hardworking group. And with that, open for any questions.
Anderson.
You've come before Labor and Commerce, which I chair, and I appreciate your hard work and answers with all those questions. But you recall we had the home inspectors bill, licensing ropeworks bill, and I have a bill coming, licensing radiologic technicians, and maybe one or two others. Are they always self-sustaining in terms of that? That's what you prefer, that the licensure fees cover that? And is that the protocol generally?
Through the chair, by law we required that. Whatever it costs to manage that occupation, is we divide that by the number of people in the occupation, and that becomes a license fee. Some of that, sometimes that's tough.
Then, go ahead, Representative Anderson.
Back when, right after getting elected in November, then departing Chair Lisa Murkowski was heading to Washington, D.C., had a meeting of three, and I forget now, I think it was psychologists, family counselors, I forget the three boards, but then there was a letter of intent that said the past Labor and Commerce Committee, which I chair, was interested in basically a letter of intent to merge those. And just briefly, you don't have to really articulate on that issue, but in general, do you favor merging or disfavor it because of the fact that then you somewhat cloud the definitive nature of what you're licensing?
The chair, I've had the opportunity to look into that issue, and I think it's best we leave them separate because some of those fields are so diverse, it's difficult to put them together because, you know, the tests are different, it's just a different group, and it's best to leave them separate.
I tend to agree, but I just wanted to talk.
Okay, thanks.
Any more questions for Rick?
I got one.
Representative Wolf.
That's okay. Many years ago, a question was posed, or a comment was posed to me when I was questioning occupational licensing. The business license is nothing more, and this was many years ago, nothing more than a revenue-producing act for the state. Can you tell me that that's not going to be the mentality of your department?
This year, costs $50 for a business license. It's been $50 for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because the legislature and their wisdom over the years has decided that businesses need to be regulated, and we need to know who they are. This wasn't created by bureaucrats. This is created by your body, and we carry out that mission. If you think it's it is, we do generate revenue. That's true, but we generate revenue, and that revenue takes care of regulating the businesses.
I understand what you're saying. This was told to me by an individual within the occupational licensing, and it concerns me that we ensure that occupational licensing doesn't have that mentality. This is about licensing businesses in the state to ensure public safety and that type of thing.
Well, that person's no longer with us now.
Thank you. I was real careful not to mention names because it was years ago. I was stuck in my craw.
Along that lines, how many times has in occupation licensing has the occupations as like, I guess you probably licensed electricians, plumbers, how many times have their license gone up through the years? Have you got that information?
Well, they all go up. They all go up and down. Depends on the cost. And one of the biggest things, and we have a problem with this, is one of the biggest costs is our disciplinary actions and legal fees.
Mm-hmm.
When you have some cases against different professions, it costs a lot of money to the guys over across the street in the Department of Law. You know, they charge big bills, and they send them to us, and we have to divide that among the people in the profession. And some of those are big, and some of the costs have jumped up. In some professions, there are some classic cases where it's been harmful to those in the profession. I'm hoping to be able to propose a solution to that problem.
To you. It does come down, though.
It does come down. It goes up and down, whichever.
Representative Anderson.
One last question, then you intrigue me on that. So let's say there you license a new group, painters, and there are 100 painters that you calculate in the state, and it costs $1,000 license them. Then 100 into 1,000 would be $10. That would be their fee a year. If this changes drastically, how do you monitor that? I mean, is it every year
we have a county system that keeps track of all the costs, and every other year we start looking at it for
every other year. Okay.
They're biennial licenses.
Any more questions for Rick? Hearing none. Thank you. Commissioner Blatchford.
Mr. Chairman, with your consent, the next person we have is the acting director of the Division of Insurance, Stan Ridgway. Stan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Stan Ridgway. I'm the acting director for the Division of Insurance, and our recently appointed director will be starting on the 3rd, next Monday, and we're looking forward to her coming on board. The mission of the Division of Insurance is to enforce the insurance statutes and regulations and to protect and educate the consumer and enhance the insurance market in the state of Alaska. The division is a primary regulator for insurance because the federal government does not regulate insurance. They leave that to the states. And in the division, we have 7 sections that join together to regulate the industry in Alaska. The first section I'd like to mention today is the consumer services section. And that name is fairly self-explanatory, but they respond to consumer inquiries regarding the insurance industry and try to explain specific policy issues with policyholders. They investigate complaints against insurance companies and try to issue impartial determinations so that people can understand what their insurance is there for and what it covers and try to get the two parties together. They also provide consumer education through outreach in the community, meeting with various groups such as Chamber of Commerce and other groups to explain the insurance industry, which is sometimes very confusing. The next section is our licensing section. They issue insurance licenses to any applicant after determining that the person is competent, trustworthy, and qualified to obtain, renew, or amend an insurance license in the state. The primary job they do is to ensure that trustworthiness is there for anyone who wants to transact insurance in the state of Alaska. They also oversee the continuing education requirements for people who have an insurance license, and they make recommendations to the director for anyone who has violated the law while selling insurance. The next section is our investigation section. Our investigation section is staffed with primarily ex-policemen who investigate alleged and suspected violations of the insurance laws. The types of cases, these frauds get kind of redundant, but they look into claimant fraud, agent fraud, insurance company fraud, document fraud, and investigate people who are operating without a license, premium fraud, and medical care provider fraud. So they're into a lot of frauds, but they do a very good job. They present cases to the director to determine if those cases need to be referred to for civil and administrative cases to the Attorney General's office, or for criminal cases to the District Attorney's office for prosecution. We have a market examination section that regulates the conduct of insurance companies. They perform detailed and structured market conduct examinations and give the division a better picture of how the insurance industry is functioning within the state. This serves as an information resource to the investigation section, licensing section, and others to make sure that the pulse of the insurance industry in Alaska is healthy and is operating appropriately. The financial examination section is also one of those that's fairly self-explanatory. It's a large section operating out of our Anchorage office that reviews the solvency of insurers in Alaska to make sure that their premium and trust accounts are in order and that insurance companies can pay claims for people who have those policies. As I said, they perform premium trust examinations and verify that trust accounts for agents are where they're supposed to be. And they collect the premium taxes and fees from various insurance companies and people who apply for a license. We operate primarily from the fees, from licensing fees that the division generates, and which is about $4 million a year. And we bring in roughly $34 to $40 million a year for taxes that goes into the general fund. The filings review section reviews insurance contracts and premium rate filings provided by insurance companies so that they can offer products in the state. We have to ensure that when you get those little stuffers inside your automobile policy, that really small 8-point print that's hard to read, we make sure that those are straightforward and that people can understand those. And they also prepare educational materials for homeowner rating guides and automobile rating guides and workers' compensation rating guides for the public. And then last but not least is our actuarial section. They participate in the solvency reviews of domestic insurers. They draft insurance laws and regulations and collect data to ensure that our laws and regs are in compliance and where they should be to protect insurance consumers. We have four major issues that I'd like to briefly touch on today. The first one is we're in the process of reviewing making a decision on the Premera application to convert from a nonprofit to a for-profit status. This conversion includes Premera Blue Cross forming a domestic insurer that will operate out of Alaska. It also would transition and contemplate forming a charitable trust The foundation, our charitable foundation, the foundation would receive funds that are generated from the from Alaska's evaluation of the cost of the initial offering for the disbursement of funds through Premiera, and those that trust or foundation would then be used to promote health initiatives in the state. The general format is to establish the foundation and have a board of directors that would then grant or use the funds for appropriate uses. We are have just completed an examination on the use of credit scoring to rate insurance policies, both in the underwriting and the rating of personal auto and homeowners insurance. That report was distributed late Friday afternoon and Saturday. I do have extra copies today if anyone would like one. And it's also available on our website under New Things. So the next thing is we're in the process and have completed draft regulations on privacy. Those were because of the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act that was passed in June of 2001. We have had two hearings on those regulations. We have draft regulations. They were the draft regulations were ready for review late October, November, but we decided to hold off on any implementation until the new administration came in and had an opportunity to weigh in on those regulations. And the last issue I'd like to mention is that we're monitoring rate increases and the reduced availability of health insurance and property casualty insurance in the state, especially aviation and insurance for assisted living homes. Excuse me. The rate increases are due in part to a hardening insurance market, terrorism, catastrophic losses, and lower investment incomes for insurance companies. The insurance for assisted living homes and aviation are faced with many problems. There are fewer insurers. There's higher cost of coverage. We have strict requirements for coverage. Because of the difficulty in obtaining coverage. So that's my presentation. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Representative Wolf.
Yeah, something that came up last year, and it piqued a tremendous amount of interest there in my district. Many of the insurance companies up and decided to quit providing general liability insurance for contractors, putting several contractors out of business because they just couldn't get. They were just insurance companies pulling out of the state, not wanting to provide general liability any longer, not providing the bonding insurance. Is there, other than terrorist activities, a broad, is there any way to, do you see any way to try to alleviate some of that problem, or is this just going to be a new, what you just stated, I mean, just a tougher market? And I, knowing what I pay for insurance, my heart bleeds for insurance companies.
To the chair, that is an issue that, the last issue that I brought up that deals with the availability of insurance and the rising cost of premiums. The we've been in a relatively good market for a good 6 to 10 years in Alaska. Although it seems like we're paying high premiums, I know auto insurance in Alaska is cheaper than it is in California, as an example. But
well, I hope so.
We are working with the industry and working to try to ensure that the insurance market is favorable in Alaska and that we're making it easier for those businesses to operate here.
Just wondering.
I guess I'm curious on how much general liability claims were filed in the state. I mean, I know of five contractors, three of them that just up and retired. The other two, I hate to just say on record, but they might be doing something else. I don't know. But just add to quit after a couple decades of being a general contractor because they couldn't get liability insurance. That's a income to my district as well as employment for carpenters, construction workers, taxes, property taxes, new homes. How do we stop that from happening?
Well, through the chair, my general analysis of that is that the aviation industry, as an example, when the aviation rates started skyrocketing, one of the things that was done was the aviation industry in general stepped in. The rates were skyrocketing because of accidents and claims. So they stepped in to start a safety program to work within their own industry to do training to reduce the number of accidents. And in doing so, eventually the rates should level off or come down. I'm not exactly sure how many claims were filed with construction contractors, but in our annual report, we do list all the claims that have been filed, and I'd be happy to get you a copy of the annual report and have someone who knows a little bit more about the casualty market to come and discuss that with you.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. I'd just like to, it is going to become, I had people asking me about that.
Sure. Representative Sisna.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I have grown increasingly interested in the insurance industry, and my father was in the insurance industry. I didn't ever think I would follow, but I have the health insurance industry, of course, is what I've really been focused on in the last year, which is different than all other kinds of insurance, it seems to me, because other kinds of insurance don't get used regularly the way that health insurance get used. Isn't that sort of true, that most insurance is catastrophic and that health insurance gets used because you have it? You start using it. And you use it sometimes quite regularly, it seems like people do. But from what I've read, all insurance is kind of leaving the state. It's not just homeowner or the construction industry, but obviously aviation and other kinds as well. Do you have any kind of reporting that we can see that shows the growth or the opposite of growth in the insurance industry just generally? Do you keep kind of numbers on how many are coming and how many are going and what their health is?
Representative Cessna, through the chair, we do publish that information, and it is available in our annual report. It is somewhat hard to dig out at times, so if you have specific questions about that, we could have our life and health actuary work with you to answer some of those questions. But we do have people leaving the market in Alaska, and we have issues where some insurers are refusing to renew insurance. And I think sometimes the renewal of insurance gets confused with people actually leaving the market. But we are experiencing both at this time in our state. And it's a national trend also. You probably read, excuse me, about the mold in the lower 48 in certain states where insurers have refused to write homeowners insurance. And the National Association of Insurance Commissioners is working hard to deal with this issue and make it easy for consumers and for insurance companies to deal with these claims and charge appropriate rates and protecting consumers.
Representative Anderson.
From the Senate, we have a bill coming down the pike on credit scoring and adverse to that with insurance agencies, and I know you have the report and I read it this weekend. Will the division have a position on that beyond the report? Because the report was good, but it didn't give a conclusion enough, and I don't blame you. To say pro or con, and as I read it, it said there could be some discrimination with some ethnic and not gender, but I can't even remember if it was age, possibly, but it really didn't have a finality or a conclusion that helped me
decide the issue. And, you know, as legislators, we're getting pulled from both ends, the consumer and the insurer, the plight of insurance companies, as Representative Wolf says, you know, jokingly, you know, I don't feel too sorry for him, I think was your message. And, but conversely, I think you want to be fair in business practices, and I have many agents calling me saying, you know, we're losing broker insurance, wholesalers and brokers saying that we're losing companies because of potential prohibitions on credit scoring. So the question would be, will you have a position statement, or will the report be your position?
See, I'd really like to defer that to the new director coming in from my I'll for a mirror to bounce.
I don't blame you either, but it's something that you'd probably be asked.
The report is, we did two things for the market conduct study to review that, and one was to survey insurance companies, and the other was to do a targeted market conduct exam. The market conduct exam portion has not been released because statutorily we have to finalize that report and then give those insurance companies 30 days to respond to it. It's similar to a ledge audit when you respond to that. However, from the surveys and general information that we gathered, there, as you said, there are some findings that point to maybe people who are older being affected somewhat by the credit scoring. Also, people who live by zip codes, so we used Anchorage and Fairbanks by zip codes, who higher income levels seem to be more and more rated more in the favorable premium companies rather than the higher risk companies. So there are some issues there, but I'm not sure if the divisions will be taking a stand officially. The report's basically reporting facts, and we really think that that's a policy call. You know, some people are in favor of banning credit scoring altogether. Some people are somewhere in the middle of regulating that credit scoring so that we can ensure as best as possible that people aren't discriminated.
And the question is, where are you, Stanley, so I can get you on record and you're not biting?
I thought I just said that.
Representative Kuka.
Early on, you said you were monitoring rate increases. I wonder if you have a report on the cost of increase to schools and school districts in the state. Most of the school districts or school single-site schools in my district have seen increases of 150 to 250% on increase in insurance premiums this school year. And the reason I'm so concerned about this is I have a feeling that this legislature is not going to appropriate a whole bunch of more money for the school districts in the formula. And so when you have an increase of 150 to 250% on your premiums, you wonder where that money's going to come from. So I was wondering if you had done a report or were going to do a report on increases to the school districts for insurance purposes.
Through the chair, Representative Tukash, we have been monitoring that issue. And last year, I know in Juneau, the school district insurance premiums for one particular bargaining unit rose 66%. Part of that rate increase was with the softer insurance market over the years, rates had been lower. And over the last couple of years, rates had increased, and there were slush funds or deposits within municipalities that they used to pay that premium, thinking that it would be a short blip. And what happened, I know in Juneau as an example, is that that finally caught up with them, and the rate increases were more like 20%. But the 66% had to go with the 66% to cover the losses for the previous years. We are, my understanding is that those rates are going to drop a little bit this year with both municipalities and school districts, that the premiums will be coming down some.
Well, good, I appreciate that. I really would like to have some sort of report, because when we go to the legislative body, we'd like to be able to say it's going to drop, but it's still going to be very substantial to the school districts. And I'd like to be able to have something in hand, because when we ask for increases from this legislature for school funding, we need to know what kind of amount we're talking about, even if it's in percentage. Thank you.
Be glad to look into that for you.
Along that line, I had six school districts, and they were coming up 200% and higher. Another idea that I think came out of the air carriers was pooling of insurance. Is there any thought about pooling to maybe drop statewide pool your insurance?
Mr. Chairman, there were a couple of bills introduced last year for insurance pooling for air carriers. The primary issue in establishing those pools is there has to be a large amount of capital to establish those. And the problem with that is the carriers having enough capital to invest to be able to fund the pool. And I think the bills that were introduced last year were funding-based bills to establish the capital. And I think at one point Congressman Young was looked at it having some possible transportation money to establish the capital to fund those. But I'm not exactly sure where those are now.
Thank you. Any more questions for Sam? Hearing none. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just to...
Blackford?
Mr. Chairman, on insurance, we do have a new insurance director coming on board next week, and that person will work closely with Stan. This was a closely watched appointment, and we did an exhaustive mm-hmm. search to make sure that we had the right person who had a universal perspective on insurance.
Thank you. Representative Kukas.
Thank you. Mr. Blatchford, you were the Commissioner of Community Regional Affairs when there was such an animal around years ago, and that was merged into another department. I had a couple of quick questions for you. I hear rumors now through the grapevine that there's going to be another name change and that it may drop the name community. I was wondering if you could comment on that in your department.
That is a suggestion that has been made to go back to the old name of Commerce and Economic Development. And we are looking at ways to strengthen the constitutional requirement to assist local communities, local governments. And there may be a name change, Mr. Representative, but we'd also strengthen our commitment to the unorganized borough and the municipalities.
I'd like to suggest, Mr. Blatchford, that the old name was Community and Regional Affairs.
I'd be glad if you propose that idea.
One other follow-up question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. One of the concerns I had when we merged the Community and Regional Affairs with Commerce and Economic Development was that we, all of us, got rid of the Rural Legislative Office in Community and Regional Affairs that used to be there. I was wondering if you had plans in your personal agenda to make sure that there was more of a community outreach, and especially for me in Southeast Alaska, to have a presence in Southeast Alaska. I know most of the presence hasn't been in this area, and I'd really appreciate your comments.
Chairman, Representative Kukesh, you know, I am very committed to rural Alaska, and we're going through a reorganization process, and we're looking at ways to strengthen our commitment. That's about all I can say. You know, there's some dialogue going on right now.
Thank you. Any more questions for Commissioner Blatchford? Thank you. Thank you for a job well done. Since there's no other business, on Thursday, we'll be having an overview of ADA and Alaska Energy Authority. That's fine. Regional Affairs is adjourned.
You left the meeting at 8 o'clock.